Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Coaching Coordinator Podcast. Today, we are going into my notebook, recent notes from this past weekend, on OC Magic, an event put together by Tony Franklin. And I can say it is an incredible event. I walked away with two full legal pads full of notes, as well as a bunch of pictures on my iPhone of the screens that were there just because I could not write fast enough to get some of this information down. What I'm going to do is share some of the highlights of that. And most likely, I'm going to have to break this into two segments. Like I said, I have two legal pads full of notes here. So we're going to focus on day one of OC Magic. And it opened up with Tony Franklin. It was followed by Rob Likens, who's the offensive coordinator at Arizona State. Jake Spavital, who's the head coach at Texas State, was the offensive coordinator at West Virginia. And we finished up with Brandon Jones, who's the co-offensive coordinator and offensive line coach at Houston. The first speaker on day one was Tony Franklin. And he started off by saying that he created this for himself. He wanted to bring these guys in to learn from them. So think of what an incredible event that is, that this is a well-known offensive coordinator who's had success throughout his career, who's put together a system and consults with people all over the country. But he put this together really for himself to learn from these guys. He also made the point that who trained me? And he said, nobody. This is stuff that he picked up all over the place. It was really a learning on the job thing. And what's unique about this event is that at no time could you learn anywhere to be a coordinator at one place, except now you have this OC Magic with Tony Franklin, which he put together. So he defined OC Magic for us, and he said, first of all, offensive means to be on the attack, to be aggressive, to attack opponents and score points. And Webster's defines coordinator as someone who organizes events and activities and organizes with others and negotiates with others in order to ensure you work together effectively. Magic, he defined as the power of influencing the course of events using mysterious or supernatural forces. And what he said is that that's what he wanted from this event. He wanted to really teach everybody what it really means to be a coordinator and how to create magic with the things that you're going to learn. He made a point early on, and it was reiterated by coaches who got up and talked about it, is that you really don't want to be known as a guru. It's almost a curse. And that's not really the purpose of what a coordinator does. Your job is not to be a guru. You certainly want to be educated on everything that you're going to do within your system. But guys like even Tony Franklin noted that he's not really the guy who knows everything about offensive line play, that he brings someone in to be able to do those things and be more effective than he can be. So he certainly knows it, but he doesn't dig into all the details of it because he empowers his coaches to do their jobs. One of the things, if you're able to get to this material digitally, is he starts off with a great hook and he relates it to this past Kentucky Derby and about how he coordinated and really looked into that derby and thought about who was going, the horse was going to win. And he used the example of everything was going his way. It looked the right way. And it came down to the end and went to replay. And the horse he picked had lost. And he related that to being an offensive coordinator. And he showed some end of game clips that turned out both the right way and the wrong way, where, you know, everything was going right. You set yourself up for success. And then at the end of the game, it comes down to one play and you win it or lose it. And he pointed out for a lot of people, those are not just game changing moments, but life changing moments. And it's the ability to be in this job and really to elevate yourself to the next level by being able to have a little bit of luck, but especially by doing things the right way. And really what he said is that what it boils down to is that the emotions of this profession that we chose gives us the greatest of joys, the worst of defeats, and sometimes both of those things at the same time. He then went into the objectives of this event, and he said it was 18 hours of football. Honestly, I think it ended up being around 20, 21 hours because every day went over and we got more. But each speaker gave us 2.5 to 3 hours. And they were training us from their perspective of years of doing this and being offensive coordinators and the things that they picked up. And what Tony Franklin wanted everybody to leave with was a plan when you walked out the door. Not necessarily that you were going to go and implement every single thing as you learned there, that you were going to take that information and being able to mold it into who you are as a coach. And this event was about 10 objectives for him. And really, as I look back on it, he definitely checked the boxes with this. So number one was leave with a plan. He wants you to have something that's almost a paint by numbers for these different strategies that you can implement. Number two, have tools for how to fix anything that breaks. Three, be equipped with a lifetime system of strategies as an offensive coordinator. Number four, be armed with methods of preparation and planning. Number five, be armed with a lifetime of ideas of staff management. Six, have motivation supplies for the staff and player. Number seven, have a supply of game day rhythm and confidence strategies. Number eight, career advancement tools. Get ready for the big job is what he talked about there. Be ready for that opportunity. Number nine, understand the how. And number 10, belief in why not me. And it was inspirational. There were coaches up there who talked about their starts in the game and where they were able to get to. Guys like Jason Mons, who started out coaching Powder Puff football, then moved to youth football and worked his way up from there and now has won six state championships in a row. And he's somebody who blew the audience away, blew the coaches away. I remember even Herb Hand leaning over to me and saying, this guy gets it. He's going to be a college coach someday. Not just a college coach, but a coordinator. And then there's guys like Kirk Martin, quarterback coach at Syracuse, who coached high school ball at Manville High School in Texas forever and then got the opportunity to go to the next level and is excelling there now. So all kinds of neat opportunities, again, built around that idea, that belief of why not me. It's all about the preparation. Coach Franklin went through and he put this chart up on the board or this list of points and characteristics of a great OC. And I think his point was, there's no one way to do this. So here's some of them to think about, and I think he's right. And really, it's about, again, what he said before, is finding out who you are and really being true to yourself. So characteristics of a great offensive coordinator, detailed or not, masterful scripts for every situation or no scripts at all, detailed planning, no planning, throw first and often to set up a run or run first to pass, conservative, never taking a chance, or a risk taker who never punts. Somebody with a detailed playbook, or somebody with no playbook at all, like Hal Mumme. Someone who's a hard ass and cusses players out, or somebody who never cusses at all. Somebody who uses one quarterback and never changes that, or somebody who rotates quarterbacks. Somebody with the athletic running quarterback, or somebody with a pocket passer. Somebody who's spread and never under center to somebody who's pro style and under center. Long detailed staff meetings or somebody who never meets. And the point being that we could be any of those things. It has to be true to who we are as a coach and as a coordinator. And that's something that you have to figure out over the time you're doing this. And I think what was great about this event is that these guys shared all kinds of strategies. And we did see them talk about different aspects of it and guys who fit on both sides of the spectrum. One of the big things that coach really emphasized that there's 6 points of offensive football, and this is something he covered throughout his and went into the details on. I'm not going to go into all the details, but I think it's worth noting the 6 areas. Number one is run and RPO. 2, play action pass. Everything that you have to build a run off of it. Number 3, drop back pass. That's for him 1 step, 3 step, 5 step, 7 step. Number 4 is the screen pass. Number 5 is pocket move. So that could be sprint out, that could be half rolls, that could be nakeds, boots. And number 6, gimmicks. And every single one of these guys kind of reiterated that. A lot of them had that exact same thing, that offense is those 6 things, that you have to have those components to really have a fully functioning system. Coach went into each of those areas, and I'm not going to hit everything there on all of them, just some key points or interesting points that I found. One of the things he talked about in the run game was what to do, in his words, when you suck and can't block anybody. And he said it's been a big part of his success that he's had to do it at times was the wrong way run, which means you block nobody and you toss the ball to one player who's running the opposite way. So you see that a lot, probably like in some of those things that you'd call like a bash concept, where you have a run going the one way. Let's say it's an inside zone or a counter, and somebody running a sweep to the perimeter where only one or two blocks are happening out there, or he's making people miss. So that was one of those things that he felt was important. He talked about RPO in this section too, and he said if you're going to have a true RPO, you have to have a quarterback who's going to be 90% right, and if he can't, the coach has to do it for him or you don't do it at all. Coach also talked about the gap schemes and how he uses his little receivers to come inside at times and block linebackers. Not an easy job, but a big part of what he does within his system to get his receivers involved in being part of the blocking. Play action was his next section. Within this area, he talked about pulling people as well, getting that flow. And I think that's an important thing and a trend we see, that if you're going to get great play action, pull somebody, really draw those linebackers or even safeties out of there. He talked about pass, or the drop back pass, in the next section, and shared some of the ideas that he had and how they fit together. And screens are such a big part of what he does, really believes it in his offense. They run a number of different screens within his offense. I think one of the important coaching points I picked up for the running back, because this has always been something I've struggled with as well, was he talked about what they do to teach that guy to come like he's going to cut him and whiff, right? So they really want to simulate that they're going to block. Rather than just putting your hands on somebody and letting them go, they're trying to come through there hard, whiff, turn around and catch the ball. You really want to sell it. The other thing they do on like some of their slow screens so that the running back doesn't get grabbed is they have him run essentially what looks like an arrow or a flat route down the line. And the thought being that if he's just releasing, a lot of times he's not going to get engaged by that defensive end who's rushing, rather than some of those guys who get trained to really sniff out the screens and can feel that that guy intentionally let him go. So to avoid that, they just have him run a flat route, get in the flat right away, kind of throttle down and turn around to catch the ball behind the linemen who have come out there. One thing I really liked, and he emphasized time and again, is that he didn't want anybody in the course of a game to walk up to him as the coordinator and say, I think this might work, or why don't you take a look at this, that he wanted guys to come up and call touchdowns, and especially the head coach. And he talks about his current job and Coach Stockstill, that he asked him to come up to me and call touchdowns. Don't come up with suggestions. Come up and say, Coach, call this play. And he said over the course of the season, Coach Stockstill called three of those in critical situations. And I really like that, because I think there's always that time between the coach, the coordinator, and the head coach where it's awkward. How do you let that guy really be a part of it? And I think that's a great thing. Gimmicks were another part of his offense, and something that every single coordinator emphasized that need to be a part of a good offensive system. And he likes gimmicks after turnovers, and he likes to build those off of things that they run a lot. So he gave some examples of that as well and emphasized some of the different areas of gimmicks. The next thing he talked about was game call rhythm, something that he's been thinking about. And he talked about this basically with those six areas, to think about how he wants a rhythm of not just a play, but thinking in types of play. For example, he gave several rhythms here, but one would be a run followed by a screen, followed by a play action, followed by a gimmick, and then a pocket move, and then a drop back. So taking six of those and just mixing those six things to find some kind of a rhythm and keep the defense off balance. And I think that's something that's pretty useful when you look at that, is how do you call plays? Keep a rhythm like that. He talked about the 5 yards or more. His guys up in the box are going to highlight all those things for him that gained 5 yards. Then Coach talked about how do you put your system together each year that's going to fit your personnel. So he had an order in which he looks at things. Number one, you want to begin with the quarterback and the backup quarterback and really understand what each of those guys can do, because you can't necessarily get by with one quarterback these days. Then think about the offensive line. What things are they going to be good at? Then think about the running backs, and finally think about the receivers. And he was emphatic that it has to come in that order. Quarterbacks, O-line, running back, receivers. You don't want to say, well, I got a 4-3 receiver and we're going to do this, because it might not fit for those other guys within your program. Coach emphasized some things they do. One is streak school, and that's where they just work on their go routes and the different things they need to work on their go routes. He also talked about what he calls the perfect drill, and we've discussed that on the podcast before. I'll link that other podcast with Coach Franklin in our show notes. Coach Franklin did a Q&A. I know they captured everything on film, and I know he plans on having this up later for coaches to look at, so you're going to want to check that out. The next coach up was Rob Likens, and we did a podcast with him yesterday. I'll link to that. I know I highlighted some things in there. I might go over some of those here. Don't mean to be redundant, but just things that I felt were important. Coach had a very organized presentation. So Coach organized a lot of this around four pillars for success, which he really feels are the foundation of what he does as an offensive coordinator. Number one was communication. Two was convictions. Three was play calling. And four was recruiting. And he talked about communication with each of the stakeholders within his program. So the head coach, the assistants, the quarterback, and the players. And I thought it was really unique in some of the things he shared here. The first was the head coach. And he said it's important to have full disclosure with the head coach to really understand what both of you need. And the whole thing being, we want to play to win the game. It's not about gaining those stats as an offensive coordinator that are going to be impressive and put you on the top of the list. Because even with 600 yards a game and 50 points a game, it's useless if that doesn't get you to a win. And you have to be in line with what the head coach needs as well as what the team needs as a whole. The point being, you can't be an independent contractor. And I think that's something that we talked about in the podcast we did with Coach Likens. With assistants, he emphasized those guys having the freedom to communicate what they want and need from you. He asked that from his assistants. I think that's so important. You have to create a cohesive staff. You don't want that room full of independent contractors, everybody with opposing ideas, getting into arguments, because you don't understand what each of those guys needs. You know, you have to empower them, and that starts with an understanding. We talked about meeting with the quarterbacks, and Coach talked about how his starter meets with him individually, as well as how the backup quarterbacks meet with the assistant quarterback coaches, GA. Players, he emphasized again and again, being clear and concise about what you want and need from them, showing them that on film, giving them examples of exactly what the behaviors are you need from them. I think making it concrete with video is such an important idea. He wants them to be masters of technique. He had a great quote in there. We shared it on the other podcast, but I want to share it here again. It is not the elaborate schemes that win football games, but well-executed simplicity under pressure. His point was put kids under pressure and do it over and over again. Just knowing the plays is fine, but you have to be able to execute under pressure. It is a game where there is a lot of pressure out there. The stands are full. There's lots of noise. Plays that are critical in the game, you have to put them under pressure. He emphasized effort, fundamental work, giving them visual examples of those expectations. Again, having players be cognizant of what it is to give a championship effort. He pointed out an example where he had a player come to him and said, give me some examples of plays where you gave championship effort. And what he found is his player really didn't understand those expectations. So we have to be clear about that. Coach emphasized the human element. This game is not play with X's and O's. It's play with human beings. And he talked time and again about how do you wear those human beings out to be able to defeat them on game day. Coach went into a section on play calling and talking about what it means to call good plays, right? Thinking about what it takes to win those games, win numbers. He worked all kinds of things into that and then just talked about what he likes to weave into a game plan. And he's very detailed about what he does to put together his game plan, his call sheet. And I think the best thing is he showed us exactly what his week looks like from beginning to end, what it looks like from Sunday forward. And he even went into his personal time and what he likes to do on a Friday night and a Saturday to prepare himself as a play caller, to be at his best, to call a game, to get into that zone before he even gets up into that press box and to be able to call the best game that he can. And I thought that was very useful, that you have to have a process for yourself as well. We work on that for our players all week long, but we also have to think about what do I need to do to prepare myself as a play caller? Because to say I do it all off a feel, I don't know that it exactly works. And I know coaches get into games and they have that feel, but a lot of times it's truthfully because they have a great process for preparation. Coach shared, like I said, the weekly schedule. Some of the things I noted in there was their formation sheets. And we did talk about this in the other podcast, but I think it's worth noting that with the formation sheets, and for them, it's something that the GAs do, the analysts do, to break down all the formations that are going to be used. That really becomes where they game plan from. They don't kind of go back into film and say, remember this, remember that. They stick with those, what they most likely are going to see, because it's been broken down and the percentages have been given, that here are the formations, here's what we expect, and then here's what we expect in defensive situations. And Coach talked a little bit about those on the other podcast. I thought it was unique. Coach took us through a game plan and related it directly to, showed us the course of the week, the practice, the game planning, and then talked about the game and showed some film from the game. So just seeing that process solidified things. And again, when that stuff gets up on Tony Franklin's webpage, I think you're going to want to take a look at it. Coach gave details on fourth down and talked about how they use championship analytics. That'll be a podcast that we have in show notes as well, where we talk to Coach Rob Ash and championship analytics. But he talked about their attack procedures and their attack third downs. I thought it was a great concept that attack third down means he knows he has fourth. He's in a distance where he gets to run that extra down. So on third down, they really have the opportunity to attack and maybe get a big chunk, explosive play, or even a touchdown. He talked about his field zone philosophy, and he emphasized things they do in their four-minute plan and how they put that together. And I think maybe that's an undercoach thing for us. We assume that we're going to get in there and just run our best plays, but Coach put a lot more thought into that process and the things that they're going to do, how they're going to use tempo within that time, as well as formations, motions, and plays, and their high percentage passes. Next up on day one was the head football coach at Texas State, Jake Spavital, and he showed a lot of West Virginia film from where he was there last year as the coordinator, and spent a lot of time going into the details of their week and what that exactly looks like, down to exactly the number of reps they're getting within each practice. And he talked about just the different ways they go through each day, including all the products that they need out of it. Like, for example, on Mondays, they're going to get their hit charts. They're going to watch blitzes. They'll focus on third and reds. And from there, they'll start to put together everything for their prep for Tuesday. So he went through every single day, almost minute by minute, explaining exactly what they do, how they run their practices, what their focuses are for each period. He showed how they divide up their different practice periods and get their reps and how many reps they get. And I was impressed with the number of reps they were able to get for their team during the course of a single practice and still be able to do all their things with their individual periods and special teams. So it was a day-by-day review of everything going on there, how they finalized the game plan, including their keys to the game, all the cut-ups that they're going to show to the players and what's included in those. He talked about their Thursday routine and everything that they're going to get into a Thursday practice. He talked about what they'll do on Fridays, their walkthroughs. They have basically a script that they go through in their walkthroughs, focused on keys to the game, and then got into a period, and he talked about in this next segment about mindfulness, which he feels is non-cognitive knowing, and how they put that together. A concept that I did like was what he called his storms, and these essentially were their double moves. And he got away from what he said a while ago in calling exactly what the double move was and really let that be determined by the players out there based on what they had been doing. So, for example, if somebody was running a lot of an out route, then their storm on that or their double move would be on the out route. If they were running comebacks, it would be that stutter and go. Or if it was slant, it was a sluggo. But instead of him calling it and getting it wrong, he allowed his players to do that and then attached another route that the quarterback could read into it coming from the other side. Coach spent some time on how he grades the quarterbacks, and he showed us exactly what that looks like and made a point that when he's looking at quality control, turnover margin is certainly important, but he really felt that yards per play and explosives were big indicators for him on the success of the offense. The next guy up was Coach Brandon Jones. He's the co-offensive coordinator and offensive line coach at Houston, and he really shared this from a different perspective. You know, he's a guy now who is really focused more on the run game and protections. He is looking for and making suggestions in the run game, putting the run game together for Houston. So he has kind of a different outlook on this right now. And he put together a presentation that included some of his thoughts on that, as well as how they prepare for a short week. And, you know, I think that's important. We have those kinds of situations where maybe we have a short week or a long week, or you look at teams like in the MAC who play on different days of the week. And that happens in high school as well. You might have a Thursday game. So how do you prepare for that short week going into it? What do you do after the short week? What do you do with the extra time? And Coach kind of talked about thoughts on preparing for the short week. He emphasized tempo, and that if you're going to run tempo, you still have to have times, and there has to be certain plays that the offensive line has to be able to make their calls and line things up and execute the right way. And you lose some of that if you're running tempo. The thing I heard consistently out of coaches at this was that if you want to run runs out of tempo, that you're not as worried about those calls being made, go to a gap scheme where everybody goes down, 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 kick out, and you pull somebody through. And that was maybe a better answer for some of those up-tempo situations. Coach spent some time and emphasized being able to put together materials that hit multiple learning styles. So that's not just the video. He talks about how he would put together some sheets for them and that the walkthrough for his guys was really critical. So he was very big on being intentional about how you coach every single player and understanding that you have to hit different learning styles, and he put together materials for that. That was the end of day one, and tomorrow we're going to focus on day two, and that was an incredible day as well. That started with Jason Mons, who's the head football coach at Saguaro High School. He's done a number of podcasts with us. Herb Hand was up next and just blew everybody away. And then we finished with Kirk Martin, the quarterback's coach at Syracuse, and he talked about a lot about his transition and how he went from being a high school coach into being the quarterback coach at Syracuse. And then Tony Franklin wrapped everything up for us with a long session on day two. So we're going to hit all of those tomorrow. Check out our show notes for links to some of the podcasts we've had with other coaches who have already been on here, as well as other related content. Go over to footballdevelopment.com to check out our systems for blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling. Register with your email and get 3 free videos, as well as access to our shoulder tackling system as well. A lot of people know that as the Hawk Tackle. We have all those drills there, as well as the teaching instruction materials. Follow us at FBDEV Coach on Twitter for great content every day. And head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rate. If you have time, write a review. It really helps the podcast.